Welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and the Ridgeback crew and Lexi, too. We're just so happy to be with you, and it's just the beginning of another wonderful, wonderful warm week here in the Northeast. I know it's supposed to get cool soon, but hey, for November, mid-November, being able to walk around in shorts and short sleeves, I can take this. I can totally deal with this. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of different things in the last couple of weeks, and one of the important parts that I think is so important is kind of taking responsibility for your own actions with your dog. Seems to me lately a lot of people have been calling me at the 800 number, the 855-4-K9-PROS, and saying that they were, I don't want to say complaining, but they were concerned that their children, who they bought the dog for, weren't taking care of the dog properly. Well, let me tell you something. If you think that your teenager or your 8-year-old or 10-year-old is going to take care of a dog, they may love it, but after a while, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like a video game, and there's no boys there with the dog, and, you know, you can't put makeup on a dog. And a lot of kids do end up kind of losing that feeling that they had with the dogs being, you know, kind of their buddies. And as kids get older, some of them become more wonderful. Some of them turn into kids that we can't even imagine were ours. And unfortunately, so many times, parents try to either rescue or purchase a dog for their children, and their children don't end up taking the responsibility because they're kids. Listen, we know that at halftime they don't even do homework, and they lie to their parents and say, yeah, I did my homework, Mom. So, you know, yes, you have to be insistent. And one of the great ways of being able to help people and dogs and get your kids kind of used to the fact that, hey, the dog's needs have to come before your own. So, yes, before you have your snack, you've got to feed the dog because you just took him for his walk. So I want to talk about that in different ways that you can give your child the experience of having dogs and being responsible without that long-term commitment. One of the greatest things that you can do is to teach your children to give to others. Obviously, we try to teach our children that it's a good thing to be able to, you know, to help others and to do good things for animals and to be able to, you know, do something for somebody else. But one of these, you know, biggest issues, you know, is really that a lot of times I think we expect unrealistically our kids to be the most, responsible child in the world. And unfortunately, that a lot of times doesn't happen. So what can you do to give your kids that really cool ability to understand how much you can get from a dog, but yet you're able to still kind of keep your sanity? Well, one of the things you can do is bring your kids over to volunteer at a local shelter or rescue. If they're too young, then, you know, that's another story. But you can definitely get them involved in that. Ask your local shelter or rescue if they could allow your children to volunteer under somebody who's good at the shelter. You know, obviously they're not going to leave them, alone unattended at a shelter. Another great thing is 4-H clubs. Your local 4-H clubs are wonderful, and very often, like I was in 4-H from the age of 8 till not that many years ago, first as a 4-H'er and then later on for many, many, many years as a counselor and as a club president and advisor. So there are a lot of cool things. So you can check that out and see if there's a 4-H club group or even sometimes Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. I've done a number of horse and dog and small animal badges for different 4-H groups, different Explorer Scouts, the Girl Scouts with the Silver and Gold Awards, as well as the the other kids, like the Boy Scouts who have different badges and different things. So, you know, it's just such a beautiful and incredible way of helping people and helping the dogs is to be able to get your kids that experience without having them make that commitment. It's kind of like taking horseback riding lessons for a year or two before your child before you lease or purchase a horse for your child. You have to make sure that the child's going to have that responsibility and is going to say, hey, I like this. And don't just say, oh, we went to the shelter 3 times. He loves dogs. No, we're going to go to the shelter every week for 6 months or a year. And if you're still being diligent with everything, then we'll be able to help you to get a dog. And these are the things you're going to have to do. Get your kids a copy of my book. You want to straighten them out on the different things that can go wrong and also the different ways of how things can go right. Well, get them a copy of my book for the holidays. Very easy, and it's a great stocking stuffer for, you know, less than $10. It's called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, !! Dog Behavior 101. You can get it on Amazon for your Kindle, and you can even get the free Kindle software to download even onto their phone or computer or whatever. Let them read about what they need to do. It's not that hard, but you do have to remember that dogs are a long-term commitment. You can't just say, hey, you know, I don't feel like walking the dog today. I don't feel like feeding the dog today. Because if you don't feed or walk that dog, what's going to happen? Where is it going to get its food? Where is it going to get its walk? And you know, it's going to go potty in the house, and then the mom and dad are going to yell that the dog isn't trained when it's really the child and really your responsibility to get the dog outside. So let's talk a little bit about other ways you can have your child get that great experience. You can foster. That's one of the best ways, and I know we have that with Merlin's kids. We have foster homes that we have for you have anything up from a couple of days to a couple of weeks to a couple of months to even up to a year. And if you're able to, you know, teach your child and have your child be familiar with, hey, we're going to have this dog here for 3 weeks or for 2 weeks, and, you know, you're going to have to feed the dog and take him out for a walk and learn from, you know, Janice or learn from whoever the foster person is. You're going to have to learn how to walk the dog, and the dog's going to need to go out for 2 walks a day, the hunt, wait, eat, explaining to them what that means and why you have to do that. And then see how the kids do. If they're complaining and if the kids seem to be, you know, kind of like, oh, Mom, I don't want to take the dog out. I want to go play. Just remember, that's a foster dog. So if that were your dog, you're saying you wouldn't take your dog out now, right? Well, Mom, I just want to go play. Well, now you know that your child is not ready yet to be able to go out and have a dog and take that responsibility of having the dog. So, you know, make it make sense to you. You don't want to have a, you know, a situation where you rescue a dog or adopt a dog or buy a puppy, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're stuck with the dog or puppy yourself, and you've got 2 or 3 kids, and you got nobody taking care of the dog but you. You know, it's understandable. And unfortunately, whether we want to admit it or not, most of the responsibility for having that dog falls on mom's shoulders. Mom's got to now take care of the kids and the shopping and getting them to school and feeding dad, or probably working a full-time job on top of it and taking care of a puppy or a dog. So understandably, moms can get overwrought. Bedtime is a tough time. You have a you know, dog has to go out, the kids have to go to bed, you have a puppy. So if you think about it, fostering a dog is a great way to start out. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what's involved in that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to for the Love a Dog with Janice Wolf, and a great shout out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph up at Cornell College of Veterinary Medicine, third year vet student. So proud of you, Jody. You're the best. And to my good friend Pam, who doesn't know the word no when it comes to an animal's needs and care. She just loves dogs, probably more than she loves humans, which is pretty good. That's probably why we get along, because I feel the same way. Now, talking about fostering and giving dogs a good home, it's such a nice idea to be able to foster, and this is something we don't normally talk about, but getting into this holiday season, I know a lot of you are thinking of either adding, getting another dog, or possibly getting your first dog, or, you know, buying a dog for somebody else, you know, an elderly parent, or a child, or whatever. And, you know, you got to make sure that it's going to be fair to the dog, so that the dog has everything that he or she needs, and that the human does, too. Because if you're going to get a dog for somebody, and that person doesn't have the time for it, you know, you're potentially buy a stuffed animal if you're not sure if somebody has time for it. Because if they don't have time for it, now they're stuck with a dog. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, they're stuck with a dog, and they might not want to give the dog up, and it kind of hampers things. So don't just give a puppy because somebody lost the dog. Don't just give a dog to somebody as a gift. Make sure that it's something that they wanted and that they have the commitment, not only time, but also money, to be able to make sure that they can do the right thing by that dog. So let's talk about what we do with Merlin's kids. With Merlin's kids, we have different types of foster programs. So we give, it's about a six-month program that we put all our kids at Rutgers through, and these people actually come out as certified handlers and trainers to have for service dogs. So if you wanted to be a foster, you would get this awesome foster program that we have, which is a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. And this way, when you have one of our dogs, you're not going to be like some of the other agencies that have an 80 to 90% failure rate. You're going to be with us, where we have a nearly, I'd say, 99%+ success rate. We have extremely low. I can only think of like two dogs ever who we had to change around. One went to a veteran, and one is now working in Arizona helping children to work with horses. So when the kids are afraid of the horses, the dog actually brings the child up the mounting block and helps the child to gain confidence and be up, and feel better. So now the child can actually get on the horse, and then the dog runs, trots next to the horse. So there's all kinds of cool things. But, you know, one of the main things that we always have to do is to make sure that the foster is good and stable, because, you know, not only the foster, but the family. People have asked me, Janice, you know, it takes you, 6 months to a year, sometimes longer, to, you know, train a dog to be a service dog. And that can even be from a good puppy, one of our Ridgeback puppies. Sometimes it takes longer because you have to rehabilitate a dog before you actually do that. And, you know, people will say to me, you know, how do you know, how to do this and how long it takes? Well, the reason that our program is so successful is that, unlike other agencies, we have our fosters have all kinds of incredible information and training. Most of the places that do puppy raisers or things like that, all they're doing is telling you some basics. Make the dog sit, make the dog lie down, and, you know, the basics, you know, feed them this much, and they don't always use a good food, and, you know, take them out in different places. But they don't teach them what to do in case the dog has a blip. Let's say a dog growls at another dog. The people will be, oh, my God, let me take the dog away, or let me yell at them, or whatever they're told to do. So that becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the other problem is a lot of these dogs that I see from other agencies that are doing breeding programs especially, the dogs are, I'm a show dog breeder. My dogs can't put a foot wrong. They have super, super, super confirmation. And they're four square, meaning that their fronts and backs are in a perfect rectangle. When they sit flat and square. They don't lean off to one side. when they move, I watch their movement front and back. So all of the dogs that come into our program, I pretend they're all show dogs, even though most of them are rescue dogs. But I still can demand that the conformation is going to be good, because if we have a dog who does not have good conformation, he's cow-hocked, or he has a bad thyroid, or a very strong history of cancer, like some of these dogs do from the other agencies, and I know this for a fact. But they're using these dogs, and, oh, yeah, it's the best dog in the world. Yeah, and it dies at age 5 of a weird cancer, or it gets a thyroid issue, or it's got a bum hip or 2 bad hips. And unfortunately, people don't want to change to make things better. Very often they get stuck in something, and this is the way we've done it. This is the way we keep doing it. Well, at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, everybody's got to learn how a dog should move and the structure of the dog, because that's at least something very simple that we can make sure. So as a foster, you would learn all about conformation of a dog, making sure that the dog is moving right, how to recognize if your dog is injured or is a little sluggish, and what to do. Also, some really important things behaviorally, so that if the dog has any kind of behavioral issue, we're able to take that behavioral issue and pretty much fix it very, very early with the foster home. So we want you to be like mini behaviorists. We want you to know so much that you can make a big difference, and that we don't have to then take the dogs and dump them into somebody else's place or spend tens of thousands of dollars paying some halfway decent trainers to get rid of the behavioral issues that they didn't want to teach you what to fix, and or maybe they didn't know how to fix. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, I wanted to go through a story, and I'm going to take some time to go through this story because I want everybody to understand what happens to dogs and what they think, why they do what they do, and what, from a dog's view, it feels and it processes when somebody doesn't do the right thing and perhaps gives the dog up to a shelter. Okay, so let's just think about it. We get this puppy, and let's say it's not you, but it's some person in somewhere who gets a puppy, and this puppy is just the cutest little thing ever, and we love him, and we play with him, and we kiss him, and we buy him all the best food, and we teach him, and he gets potty trained, and he runs, and he plays, and he's 3 months old. And it's sunny and beautiful out, and he runs and plays in our beautiful suburban backyard or in a little area, and he, to him, that is just a wonderful place. So he runs and plays and jumps and frolics, and the kids are running and playing with him, and he's just got the greatest life in the whole world, just has no worries, no problem. He sits like a champ. He'll give you a high five with both hands. He'll lie down. He'll roll over. He'll just do all these cute tricks. He'll give you a little nose bump. You know, he can even run around the backyard and come back and sit right next to you. He is the best dog in the world. All he wants to do is love you. All he wants to do is be near you. And you love him, and he's just the best dog in the world. Well, you know, obviously, he's grown up a little bit. He's 8 or 9 months old, and, you know, he chews a lot. He's not doing it to be mean. He just got a bad tooth or something. But for some reason, he's still chewing things up. And, you know, you try to get through it, and you give him some toys, and you keep him confined to a crate because, after all, he's still a puppy at 8 or 9 months of age, right? And you don't want him to chew on a wire or something. So he's this great puppy, and now here we are at winter, and we have the fireplace on, and this puppy is just lying by the fireplace, and he's mugging it up with mom and dad and the kids, and he's just doing great. He's not chewing anymore because now he's a little bit older. He's all, let's say, 10, 11 months old. He's just the best dog in the world. So here he is lying by the fireplace on the pillows with his mother and father and his brother and sister, and he has just turned out to be the best dog in the world. He's just the friendliest, and he's the sweetest. And now, because he's about a year old, you say, yeah, we've socialized him enough, so I think we're good on that. We don't really have to do that anymore, so we'll just let him stay in the house, and he's good. He's not having accidents. He's just a great dog. Well, here comes spring and summer, and he's a year and a half old, and the kids all go to summer camp, and mom and dad need to go away, and they're saying, gee, I wish we could go away, but we can't afford, you know, $50, $60 a day for doggy daycare, you know, to babysit for us to go on vacation. So I guess we can't go on vacation. The kids go off to camp. Mom and dad take day trips. Dog is left alone a lot, but he's still fine. He's just the best dog in the world, and he's happy to just do anything that he needs to do for you. So he's doing great. So what do? We come back from summer camp, and now it's fall. Kids are a grade up. Now junior's in middle school, and your other child is just going into senior high school. And, you know, here we have this great dog, and he's just being a good boy, and you just love him. He's just so good. And the kids have soccer and hockey and, you know, all kinds of track and field and football and all these different things, and they're not home so much anymore. But you got trusty Rover. He's home. He's just the best dog in the world, and he loves when you guys come back and you play with him. And the kids come back, and they're sick, and Fido is, you know, sitting on their lap and making them feel better, and you just love that fireplace. He lays by the fireplace. He's just the best dog in the world. Not doing anything wrong. He's just a great dog. Well, you know, the seasons change, and Fido is now 5 or 6 years old. Great dog. Been through everything with the family. Junior's tonsils and Mary's hernia operation or vice versa. And, you know, mom's broken leg and stays home with mom. And, you know, things are not so good now, though, because there's no time for puppy anymore. So he's 6 years old, 7 years old, and nobody's got time for him anymore. So he starts, you know, nobody's home. He starts having accidents in the house. And maybe starts chewing some things because he's bored and he's upset that his mom and dad and family aren't there anymore. And anyway, my high schooler is now in college, and my younger child's in high school. And we just don't have time for the dog anymore. So something happens, and whether somebody loses a house or just makes that tough decision, hey, we just don't have time for the dog anymore. And here we have a 7 or 8 year old dog or 9 year old dog who gets dumped in a shelter. They didn't mean it for that to happen, right? But it's just the way things happened. So one day, mom and dad take the dog for the ride. He hasn't been in the car in, well, a long time, since last time he was at the vet's office, but he's always happy to go with you because he loves you, and he's just going to have you know, the greatest time just hanging out with you. And you go to a place, and it's kind of loud, but, you know, hey, so is the vet's office sometimes. And he brings you in and brings all your bowls and your beds. So you're thinking, hey, gee, maybe they're going on vacation, and I'm just going to hang out with these dogs for a week, and then mom and dad will be back from their vacation, and they'll come and get me because they love me because I've been really good to them, and I'm an old man now. And obviously, they're not gonna let anything happen to me, so I love them. So I go willingly, but as I go, I look back at mom and dad, and mom and dad start crying and walk away. And it just doesn't feel right because I don't know. All of a sudden, I don't know what's happening. It's almost like they don't think that I'm going to ever see them again. But mom and dad, I know you'll be back in a week when you get back from vacation, so I'm not worried. So dog comes in. It's loud, lots of barking dogs. His gray face suddenly being a little bit afraid instead of being excited. And he starts to worry and wonder, gee, there's all these dogs here. I wonder when their mommies and daddies are coming to pick them up. I know my mommy and daddy will be back soon because they're just going on a vacation, and I know they'll be back for me because they love me. We used to sit by the fireplace together. We used to sit on the chair together, and when mom and dad or Junior and Mary didn't feel well, I'd give them all the love and attention I could, and I'd stay with them and make sure they were okay. And I'd protect the house, and I'd lie by the fireplace with them. So I know they'll be back. And days turn into weeks. And mom and dad don't come back. They gave this dog up because it was inconvenient now. Didn't mesh with their lifestyle. So now you've got an old dog, 7, 8, 9 years old, who nobody's going to want, because who's going to want an old dog? And, well, the dog is black, except for the gray around his muzzle. And he stops eating because he misses his mom and dad. But they don't come back. And instead of lying by the fireplace or by Junior's bed, making sure he's okay and that he's home safe, now Fido is lying on a cold concrete floor with other dogs around him barking and carrying on and scaring him. And now the days turn into months, and the months turn cold. And people walk back and forth as if they were looking for their dog. And look, that one took that dog out of that cage. I wonder when my mommy and daddy are ever going to come back for me. But mom and dad never come back for him because he was inconvenient. He gave them 7 great years and was the best dog in the world. And how did they repay him? They dumped him in a shelter because it was inconvenient. And you may think that I'm being kind of mean on this, and you may be crying like I am inside right now, because unfortunately, this does happen. It's not just dogs with behavioral issues. It's not just pit bulls. It's not just a particular type of dog. It's the type of people who don't have that commitment and who don't realize that when your kids stop taking care of that dog is your responsibility. Don't you dare go out and buy a dog. Don't you dare go out and spend $3,000 or $4,000 on some mutt that somebody's laughing at you all the way down the driveway and going, do you believe these idiots are spending $4,000 for a poodle whatever mix, right? They're mixing Shetland sheepdogs and poodles now, right? Whatever they're mixing, and they're laughing at you. Don't you dare go and buy a dog and think you're going to abandon it. And don't rescue a dog unless you intend to keep that dog for the life of the dog. But what you can do is go and foster. Foster a dog and make sure it's a good fit for your family. Foster that dog and make sure that you are good people for that dog. And that's how we can start helping dogs. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting. And very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And hopefully you have a little bit more of an understanding of what happens to that Christmas puppy, what happens to that dog that your child wanted, that you gave into. Do things temporarily. Do things short term. And try to make sure that when you're working with a shelter or a rescue, try to have them give you the real legitimate, like honest-to-goodness schedule of what needs to be done with the dog, and make sure that the children understand. Make sure you understand. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to prevent another Christmas miracle from turning into an April disaster that, you know, that the people just gave up on the dog. And, you know, people sometimes will complain and say, you know, Janice, you're just too rough on people. No, you know what? The problem is society is too easy on people. If we are able to abandon an animal who was good to us, that's why we can end a marriage, end a relationship with a good friend, stop being that good person who we should be. Because if you can't be held accountable and your kids can't be held accountable, unfortunately, that dog is going to be either living a life in a shelter or potentially being euthanized. And you don't want to know how they euthanize dogs. It's horrible. It's not like how you do in your vet's office. These dogs, many of them have something called a heart stick, which means they take a giant long needle, like an amniocentesis needle. They lift the dog up, kind of holding it up, standing it straight up, and then they stick the needle straight into the heart and inject it or just poke it a bunch of times until the heart just bleeds out. So if that's what you want to happen to your baby who's laying by your feet right now, then you let him go into a shelter. You stop taking care of him. You abandon him because, unfortunately, that's what happens. And I'm just trying to educate everybody at this holiday season to think long and hard before you get a dog, because you better not abandon that dog. And you say, no, I never would. Well, most people who dump dogs don't think that they are dumping dogs. And you might feel guilty, whatever, but it doesn't matter if you feel guilty. You're still in your house, and your dog is still in a shelter. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about something more happy. Different gifts that we can start getting for the dogs in the shelters. We can get nice things and, you know, different kinds of things. Let's say, for instance, you can buy, the kinds of food they recommend. You can get Kong toys and those rubber toys that I'm not a real fan of, but they are super, super good. When you have a dog who's in a situation that is, going to be like a shelter or rescue situation. Try to help the shelters and rescues at this time of year and all the way through the year. Find out how you might be able to help them, because you'd be surprised how easy it is for you to give them a hand. We've been talking about it on my other show, From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, about simple things that you can do, like if you're good at photography, go down there and go once a week or so and take photos of the dogs in your shelter. Take good photos with Bill from the front so that the dogs actually look good, because, you know, black dogs are typically the ones who are the most commonly euthanized. And the reason that usually happens is, unfortunately, because black dogs can't be very, you know, easily photographed. So when you see them, you don't really realize that, you know, that there's an actual dog there, and you can't really tell what kind of dog it is even. So that's one of the reasons I believe that black dogs tend to have more issues being adopted, because we can't get good photos out there. So the other thing is, you can take that black dog and you can put a little scarf on him, or a little tiny cute little thing for him to be able to wear, and then you say, oh, look how cute he is, or put a little hat on him, or kind of whatever you want to do. But that, again, is a very, very important aspect of what you're, you know, what you're doing. And it is really a great idea to be able to get out there and to help the dogs and the animals in the shelters, because if you're able to help them and they're more easily adopted and more quickly, then they don't have to spend months and months and months in a bad situation that they're going to develop potential behavioral issues. Now, there are certainly a lot of dogs who, you know, are just dumped in shelters or rescues because people, you know, lost their house or they just couldn't take care of the dog anymore. But I still think that's kind of a cop-out. If you lost your house today, right, you lost your house right now, you found out, wouldn't you be trying to find somebody who would be able to take the dog for you? And you know what? If you lose your house, doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to get another house or another place that you can have your dog. So what you can do is, you know, try to work on, you know, social media and check to see if you can't find somebody who might help out. I know we help a lot of people out, especially soldiers who are deployed, where we'll keep the dog for 6 months or a year even, and then the people are able to take their dog back. You know, again, we just want to make sure that we're not allowing so many dogs to be dumped into shelters and rescues or euthanized. Because if we keep dumping those dogs and these people keep buying these $3,000 and $4,000 mutts, and I'm telling you, because I've seen people who breed these dogs and they're like $3,000 or $4,000 and it's a mutt. I mean, it's not a breed. It's not a whatever you think it is. It's just a mutt that somebody's charging you a ton of money for, and it's a mutt. I mean, it's a mutt. It's not a Grand Champion show dog. It's not a dog that has great bloodlines and great health and temperament and has all the hips and elbows and thyroid and bear and surf and all the different genetic tests. These are just people want one and they think, oh, look, that's the newest, coolest dog. I'm going to buy one. And that's why so many of these dogs end up in shelters and rescues, because a lot of them wind up with behavioral issues that are genetic. If you were going to breed Grand Champion show dogs, you would definitely go to a breeder like myself who is going to be able to provide you with a super, super show dog who's going to be great with temperament, live a long time, have beautiful bone structure, have beautiful temperament, have beautiful attitude, just the best dog in the world. That's what we're going to do. So if we're able to then work with the dogs and, you know, and give you guys a great dog that's well-behaved, that has the right looks and has the right movement and has been genetically, you know, sound and wonderful for many, many years, then we know that, you know, that dog is probably going to have a good temperament. If you do have a problem and the dog has a problem, you can go back to that show breeder, and most of them, the vast majority of them, will absolutely stand behind their dogs. That's what we do as show breeders. We are called the hobby breeders. We do it not for the money, but to make sure that these dogs are able to go to, you know, a good home and that they're going to be taken care of. And yes, they may show and they'll kick butt in the show ring, but so important, even more important, is that we will stand behind our dogs. And the people who are selling these mixed breed designer disasters don't care. They don't care who you are. They'll sell it to another unsuspecting schmo. So stay tuned, because I'll be right back with our final segment.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog. It's just For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. It's just a Friday, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend again here in the Northeast. Like I was saying, I'm just so excited that we have this time to talk with you. I want to answer two questions from our listeners. The first question is from a young lady, a young mother in Colorado, who wants to know what kind of a dog would be appropriate for her 5-year-old son, that he loves dogs and she wants to buy a dog for him, and is wondering what kind of what kind of a dog would be the right fit. She's mentioning also that her son is very, very active, so she'd like to get a dog who is a very active dog to keep keep up with him. So here's one of the problems, okay? You have an active 5-year-old, 6-year-old son, and if you have a dog who's hyper, they're going to be mirroring each other. They're going to be bouncing off each other. So this is just one of those things. But to me, if I've got a very hyperactive 5 or 6-year-old boy who runs around a lot, the last thing I need is some crazy out-of-control puppy who's going to be running around more than the child. And what a lot of moms do with this kind of a situation, and it sounds crazy, but this is what happens, is they'll buy a herding breed. They'll buy something like a border collie or a Australian shepherd or Australian cattle dog or something like that, figuring that, you know, hey, that's a great dog because it'll kind of keep an eye on him. Well, it's a great idea if you want your child to be nipped and bitten all the time. But think about what the Australian cattle dog or Australian shepherd or Sheltie or border collie would be doing in nature. It would be nipping and herding, H-E-R-D. It would be herding the other animals, or in this case, the child. And there's a very good chance that the dog is going to be herding your son and nipping at your son. And by that happening, eventually what's going to happen is that your dog is going to be harming your child. And, the problem obviously there is the more amped up your child gets, the more amped up the dog gets. And the more amped up the dog gets, the more amped up your child gets. So as you can see, that might not be the best option in the world. So what would be a great option? Well, maybe getting a dog who's a few years old or a puppy of a calmer breed. Remember, with a little bit of luck, your 6-year-old is not going to stay crazy and hyper until he's, 16 or 18. So let's just assume that it's probably a really, really good idea to have a dog who, maybe is a little bit calmer or a little bit older. And in this way, you're going to be able to have the dog kind of moderate the child's behavior and calm him down instead of making him more crazy. So it does make sense, if you think about it, to have a dog who is going to be a little bit calmer than the child, so that the dog will keep the kid calmer instead of amp the child up. So that's the first question, and I hope that was very helpful. The second question comes from a woman in Michigan. I will not say her name because she said, I don't know if her husband's trying to get rid of the dog, but she has a German Shepherd. She says, super well behaved. Her husband is complaining that although the dog is very well behaved, very well trained, yada, 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 he wants to get rid of the dog because he feels that there's, it looks like he's saying he's got allergies. I don't know if he does or not, but it looks to me that he is blaming the dog for some things in the house. He's saying that the dog is destructive and is damaging things in the house, and that the hair and the dander is all over the furniture. Okay, yeah. Now, here's one of those, basically, it sounds like you got the wrong breed of dog. You bought a German Shepherd puppy. It doesn't say if she bought the puppy or rescued the dog at an older age. Don't know that. But it definitely appears that they have had the dog for a while, and that unfortunately what ended up happening is that the dog would you know, be lying on the furniture, and all the dander and all the, you know, he feels that the damage is from the dog. Well, there's some easy things here. So let me explain a couple of different things. First thing that could happen, okay, very, very first thing that can happen is that the dog can be, you know, not groomed properly. A dog like a German Shepherd should have a grooming probably every month or other month at least. That's as far as a bath goes. You don't want to bathe them too frequently, but that would be a good idea, once a month or once every other month or every 6 weeks. Now, there's also different gadgets. There's one that, I mean, obviously I breed Rhodesian Ridgebacks, but I do have a lot of rescue dogs, and I have something called the Furminator. It's a great gadget. It definitely helps. And the Furminator is one of those great things that can pull out that undercoat that a lot of dogs like a Shepherd or Golden or Lab would have. That is that coat that's kind of fluffy and it gets all over the place, gets in your eyes and gets in your nose and gets all over everything. A second thing is for any breed of dog, for any mixture of dogs, is a vitamin supplement that beyond reducing shedding also does great things like preventing cataracts, boosting the immune system, and keeping the dog strong and healthy. And so if I look at that right now, this dog would be a great candidate for the NuVet vitamins. It's N-U-V-E-T, NuVet.com. And you can actually get 15% off if you mention our show and just mention Merlin's Kids. We have a rescue discount code. That's 40560. That's, again, 40560. And it's NuVet.com, N-U-V-E-T.com. They're called NuVet Plus Wafers for Dogs. I would highly recommend for this German Shepherd, because it's a larger dog, that you give them one in the morning, one at night. They're really phenomenal, and that will definitely help the shedding, and it may even help to reduce the dander. One of the other nice things that you can do is make sure you're not giving your German Shepherd or any of your dogs any corn, wheat, or soy. Corn can amp a dog up, and some dogs are allergic to corn, most are not, but wheat is the number one cause of food-related allergies in dogs and food-related aggression. And what can also happen, because you have a dog who has already a big, thick, heavy coat, you know, on top of everything, you know, you're looking at this this dog who basically is shedding all over the place, and if this is your husband's complaint, then let's work on that, okay? So no corn, wheat, or soy, BHA, BHT, byproducts. Buy my book. You can read all the things because I go into a lot of detail, but definitely the NuVet vitamins, order code 40560, saves you 15% if you go on the auto ship program. That should help with the shedding. Now, what I would do is also to have on the furniture, instead of having the dog allowed on the entire furniture, I call it the bridge to Narnia. Get a nice little throw rug or throw shawl. A lot of companies will be selling these for maybe $20 to $30. And it's a nice, heavy, it almost looks like a moving blanket kind of a thing. And lay that on, the spot on the furniture that you want the dog, and teach the dog that when the cover is on the furniture, that he can jump up. If he doesn't see it, then he's not allowed to jump up, and you can lay that on his bed or on something else so that if it's there, he can go on. If it's not, he can't. And then find out what the real reason that he wants to potentially get rid of the dog, and let me know. And if you can email me back, and I'll either answer you personally or on the air. Thank you again to everybody for listening to the show. I can't believe it, but yes, we are done for another Friday. Hope you all have a wonderful, healthy, happy weekend. Start thinking about making donations to your local animal shelter or to merlinskids.org so that we can help shelter and rescue dogs to become service dogs and place them with wonderful children who really need them. Have a wonderful day, and see you next week.